So we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask your blessing upon us as we listen attentively, Lord, to what you would say to us right now. We praise and bless your name. Well, it's Father's Day, and I don't think we can let that go too easily. We need to celebrate our fathers, and in that, of course, celebrate the fatherhood of God. It's not, of course, a liturgical feast, but that doesn't matter. One day the church will, in its wisdom, I think, come up with a liturgical feast of God the Father. After all, we have a number of them for the Son, and we have one big one for the Holy Spirit. Why not have one for the Father? So tonight, I just thought we'd just baptize Father's Day, as it were, bring it fully into the mystery of the immense love of God, our Father, for us. And the first prayer of the Mass, which you might have missed, some of you weren't here at that time, no comment, but there, at the first prayer of the Mass, you'll remember we prayed, you know, God our Father, you have redeemed us and made us your sons and daughters. And may we have the freedom to know who we are in you. Whoa, what a prayer for Father's Day, huh? That's what we want, is to know that deeply. Now, I was in another country recently, as I tend to be lately. Unfortunately, I love being here. But I was in an adoration chapel before the Blessed Sacrament exposed, kneeling there, trying to be as devout as I could. And a man around about 35 or so entered the room together with his little boy. And they knelt down up the front, some distance from where I was, and the man began to pray very fervently, obviously before the Blessed Sacrament, with his hands joined, gazing upon the Lord. And the little boy thought, well, he's going to follow him and imitate him. So he's kneeling before him just like Dad. You know? He's looking up at Dad and he's doing what Dad was doing. But then after a while, the little boy thought, oh, there's not much in this. So he started tapping on the father's arm, you know. And the dad, very beautifully, instead of brushing him aside, turned around and just gave him a big hug and held him and said a few quiet things to him about the Lord. And then when that was over, his father went back to the prayer. The little boy went back to imitating his dad. And this sort of little was repeated a few times, this little episode, because the boy kept on getting upset about not having his father's affection. And it really spoke to me, because I could see that this father was teaching his son just by praying. And the son was picking it up. He was pointing him towards God. But at the same time, because the son wasn't quite connecting too much with the invisible reality, the father was there as the visible reality whenever he needed it for a hug, huh? To give to him and minister to him the Father heart of God. And I think it touched me, because in my own personal journey, in my own dad did neither of those things really. He didn't point me towards God, and nor did he bring that affection to me of the Father heart of God. And so that left a wound in my own heart that I guess that I've been healed of now, which I'll speak of in a minute, but it's just there. That father wound is a significant reality in our society, is it not? And not that long ago, Steve Budoff, who writes books on this sort of stuff, said that there was a survey done here in Australia of the way boys experience their dads. And he said some of them experience their father as a tyrant, just dominating the household and, you know, really controlling everything. I remember a young man coming to me actually who experienced his dad like that, but his presenting problem was that he was bashing his fist through walls. He'd just been married and he couldn't cope. And he was, what was the problem? And I said, what about your dad? He said, oh, you know, when as kids they heard dad coming home, they'd hear the crunch of the gravel on the outside, and everything would change in the house. They'd all freeze up because dad was arriving, probably drunk and be abusive and everything. So that's how some experience their fathers. The second lot experienced their fathers like it's really critical, you know, putting them down and not sort of belittling them and not making them sort of be able to stand firm in who they are. And the third experience their father is just absent, either down the pub or the club or at work all the time, or just not there at all because he just had abandoned the family. Australia is the land of the absent father, huh? It seems to have been an increasing reality, which is part of our poverty, really, our deep poverty, our spiritual poverty. And the fourth one was experiencing their fathers like a couch potato, sort of sitting all the time before the television and doing nothing around the house and not sort of really assuming responsibility, and mum doing most of the responsible things. So if people have had that type of negative experience of their fathers, of course, then it's going to be difficult for them to really appreciate the father heart of God and be able to experience God as their loving father who's really attentive to them and present to them. Because God is faithful. You know, he is faithful God. You know, he's just in all his ways and loving in all his deeds, it says in Scripture. You know, he says, I'm everlasting in my love for you. And I'm constant in my affection towards you, he says in Jeremiah. You know, and he's always present. You know, he's not absent. God is always present to us, it says in 1 Peter, doesn't it? Like, you know, humble yourself before him, and he will lift you up at the appointed time because he is always looking after you. You know, he's always present. You know, and God is so full of acceptance of us, and there's no rejecting of us at all. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it's Jesus' purpose to bring us into the Father heart of God. That's why he came, so that we come to know the Father's heart. And of course, for fathers, that's important because we who are fathers, I'm a father too, I have many spiritual children, I guess, you know, to be able to bring the father heart of God in the way I minister my authority is very important, isn't it? You know, and so for all fathers, especially those who are fathers to children of with their wives, they must bring that sort of life-giving authority that comes from those who really know the father heart of God deep within themselves. And the father heart of God, of course, is very merciful. You know, because everyone will fail at times, but there's always that heart of the forgiving father that we have in that beautiful parable that Jesus told. You know, that the son's returning, wondering how he's going to be received, and the father's been waiting, and he runs to him, and he throws his arms around him and kisses him tenderly. And this tender heart of our Father God, you can imagine the son being held in the father's arms and hearing the father's heartbeat, you know. That's been beating out of love for him all the time that he'd been away, and all the times he rebuked his father, and the times he just neglected his responsibilities and all that. But now he's welcomed back. This is the heart of our Father God. And of course, we have been wounded. And in my own personal journey, as I mentioned, like the wound, I won't talk too much about that. But my dad was such a good dad, but he was also... you know, he preferred my other brothers to myself. I had two brothers, and they were like the apple of his eye, and I was not. And I knew that inside myself. I knew that I was the least wanted, as it were. And that sort of left a bit of a wound in my heart, and I had him at times talking about me negatively, and at times he would humiliate me in public, and that sort of thing. And it's sometimes an unfair injustice. I remember one time when my little brother, he was a bit of a pest, and I just sort of had, there was a compass needle there, and I just stuck it in his backside just a little bit, you know. And he went screaming to Dad, you know. And Dad, Ken stuck this compass in my backside. And so without any questions, Dad came out, and he just jabbed it right in. Boom! I was right there. Yes, I can still feel it. So I jumped up in the air, of course, and then I screamed. I felt so badly done by, you know. So when the Holy Spirit came in baptism in the Spirit, I had to sort of like allow the healing to take place. And the healing did take place. It was like as if I was being lifted in the Father's arms and held in his loving arms. Like in Hosea, where the prophet speaks about God the Father, and the Lord is saying, you know, I was like a father who stoops down to you and lifts you up and holds you gently to my cheek. That's how he was towards Israel. That's how he is towards each one of us, if we allow him to be. He holds us in his loving arms. So I began to experience that being held in the loving arms of my Father God, and a deep healing took place within me. But of course, fatherhood is not only about the tenderness of the heart of the father, it's also about discipline and about correction. And so the readings today are very much focused on that side of it, the discipline and correction. Now it says if you see someone who's failing and sinful, then you need to do something about that and take responsibility to call them back out of that. And so as a father, of course, I have many spiritual children. I do that to the best of my ability. Sometimes I shirk that because I'm scared. But it's important, isn't it, to draw alongside of someone and to be able to say, I'm sorry, I think you're on the wrong track here. You need to come back and to repent of your sin here. That's important too, isn't it, as part of this Father heart of God. And that's God's heart too. God weeps over us when we sin. He weeps over us when we fail, when we fall away. And he desires to have us back. Now, when the cure of Ars used to preach as a father of many, and he'd preach oftentimes weeping, because he was weeping for the sins of his people and how they had sort of were neglecting God and not prepared to return to the living God. And that's the heart of the Father. And I guess I could say that tonight too. If you're in a state of sin, or if you're in behavioural patterns or ways of thinking that are really against the kingdom of God, well, turn back now. Come back to the living God. You know, this is the heart of our Father God. He wants you to come back. He desires you. He doesn't want to see you lost. He doesn't want to see you going off with down the track of the world today, which has lost all the sense of God and his goodness and his beauty and his love. And it's just become sort of so self-preoccupied and into a state of sinful behaviour. So we have a father who disciplines us in that way, who wants to correct us and to have us change our ways, to come back to him before it is too late. He's that sort of father as well. And so we see that in the prophet in the first reading, and Jesus too saying, like, if there's someone who is who's offended in some way or another, then go to him and talk to him with all humility and gentleness and seek to do something about it. And that's a good father will do that. A good father won't let his children run into a house where it's blazing, burning and burned to death. He'll try to rescue them. And that's what our Father God is like. He wants to rescue us from ourselves sometimes and from our own failings and our own tendency towards sin, our own inclination to sort of just go our selfish way. So he's there always afflicting our conscience to call us back. And sometimes he uses father figures in our life or mentors to challenge us to come back and not to stay on that perilous path that we've chosen to take, but to make a different choice and to turn around and come back to him. That's what he asks of us all the time, doesn't he? And leads us on in that way. But you know, he persists in his love. And this is my primary point. He is faithful God. And he persists. And he will always wait upon you. And he'll always seek you out. And he won't let you go. And he'll always be there to call you forward to a greater thing that he has for you. And everyone who has a father heart is like that too. They'll reflect the Father God in that way. I just want to finish with a favourite story I have about this father heart of God. And it comes from the Armenian earthquake in 1989, where 30,000 people were killed in 4 minutes by this giant earthquake that took place. And so this particular city where this father lived and his little son, it was devastated. The whole place was razed to the ground. And the father had gone to the school that morning with his son before the earthquake took place, and it said to him what he always says, said every day to him, "Son, remember, I'll always be there for you. I'll never let you go. I'll always be there for you." And so he said that morning, and the earthquake took place. And so the father made his way across the city through all the destruction to find the school, and the school was razed to the ground. And his son was somewhere under the rubble, together with all the other children. And the parents are there wailing, and the police came, and the fire crew came, and they sort of said, "It's hopeless. There's nothing left. It's finished." The father wouldn't believe that. He went round to the back of the where he knew where the son's classroom was, and he started to dig with his own hands. And then some people took pity on him, and they helped him, and they got some rudimentary implements, and they started digging as well to try and find where the children might have been. And they said, "No, it's hopeless." After 24 hours, everyone deserted him. But he kept digging and digging, pulling out rocks and little boulders and things like that with his own hands and with what implements he had. After 36 hours of this loving attempt to try and find his son at all costs, even though all his hands were bleeding from his efforts, he hears a cry, and he recognizes his son's voice. And he cries out, "Amand, Amand!" And his son cries back, "Papa, Papa." And his son was heard to say to the other children who were there, who had been saved by this pocket miraculously, he was heard to say to the other kids, "I told you so. I told you so. My dad said he'd always be there for me. He'd never let me go. I told you so." You see, that's the father heart of our God. That's the father who has been faithful right down through history. That's the father who showed his faithfulness when he raised Jesus from the dead. He rolled the stone away, and he raised him from the dead. And he's still about rolling stones away. No, he takes the stone out of your heart. He'll dig through the rubble of your life, and he'll find that stone that's holding you back, and he'll lift it off. Might be a stone of despair. You'll find that rock of shame because of the addictive practices in your life, and you'll pull it out. That's what he's like, to set you free. And you'll find that boulder, and you'll roll that boulder out. That boulder of bondage, so you can be free. God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, and he raises us up too. He is faithful God. He will not give up on us. He'll dig through our life to the extent that he needs to set us free, because he is God a Father, and you are his son and his daughter, and he loves you. He's always loved you. He'll never stop loving you. And he'll be there until the end for you. He is Father God. And he teaches us to be Father too in our own hearts. So our fathers in this land will be faithful fathers. They'll be constant in their affection for their children. They'll go the distance with them, whatever it takes, how much it hurts, whatever it costs. They'll be there for them. They'll have the affection of the heart of a father for their children. They'll be there to protect them and to guide them and to lead them forth and to give them what they need to be the men and women they're meant to become in God. So we do pray, as we prayed at the beginning, Father, you have redeemed us. You've made us your sons and daughters. Give us the freedom to be who we really are in you. And let's pray today for the fathers present here. Each father here would receive a deep courage through this Mass to be the father that he's meant to be. And if he's feeling that he's failed over the years, then that he'd receive a grace to be set free from that feeling of failing and shame, and have the grace to know that God is merciful and that God will give him a father's heart now to pray for his children if they've grown up and moved on. And we pray for each one of us here who have been fathered or we've lacked the fathering in one way or another. And we pray to Father God to make up the difference. If there's a hole of deprivation in anyone's heart here because of the lack of Father's love, may God the Father, who is present here in Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, may he take hold of you this night and bring you a deep consolation of tender, loving mercy that comes from the very heart of God himself. Just to share the rest of the story with my dad, briefly, because otherwise, and it should be an encouragement to fathers. I want fathers to be encouraged. Because in the year of the father, 1999, my father had well and truly died many years before. But I went to the grave, and I was standing there at the grave, and I was praying, and I started to weep. And I wonder why am I weeping, and then I realised I had an image come to my mind of when I'd finished my high school. I went back to the family home. My father took me out to the back shed that usually had nothing in it, but there was an E.H. Holden in the shed, the first car he'd been able to purchase. He was so proud of it. And I realised at that moment why he hadn't been able to purchase the car until that time. He'd spent all the money on our education, because the whole goal of his life had been to get us educated where he had not been able to be educated. And all of a sudden I was filled with a deep sense of gratitude for my father and just how grateful I was for the sacrifice that he made. He died early, but he'd achieved his goal to make us all educated where he hadn't received that. And that was like a self-sacrifice. And so there's so many aspects of this fatherhood that while you think of your own fatherhood, you might think, oh, I failed in one area. But there are many aspects, and I'm sure that you have been a good father and that the way that God looks upon you, he smiles upon you with great delight on this day and wants you to be encouraged that as a father you've done well. So we do pray, Father, that tonight there be a blessing upon us, blessing from your heart, Father, that we could experience your heart more deeply this night in this Eucharist and rejoice and be thankful for your heart of love, your heart of mercy, your faithfulness. Thankful for the discipline that you put into our lives. Thankful that you call us out of darkness into your wonderful light. Thankful, Father, for all that you are to us, that you hold us in the depth of our being, just as you spoke to Jesus when he raised up out of the waters of the Jordan, you are my beloved Son. My favour rests on you. You speak to each one here. You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. My favour rests on you. And bless his name.